Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Small things, big difference. Small things, big difference. The whole premise of this series is talking about discipleship culture and the culture that Jesus had, being the most influential person that ever walked the face of the planet, and yet his model for leadership was actually to start with a small group of ragtag dudes, and some of them didn't even pass the test. But if we were to look at his model of how he affected change in the world, having only traveled within 200 kilometers of where he was born, primarily by foot or on animal, but never that far, and he had this small group of 12 guys that he poured his life into. You know, we'd often think, well, that wasn't very effective, was it? But it was, the effectiveness came with the change that these men took on with them, with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit as disciples. So this is what we're looking at. And just as our base verse, or the base passage for this series, is Matthew 28. We'll go there. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Lord, we thank you that you're with us. Lord, we thank you that as you're with us, you empower us to make disciples. Lord, there's no point in even trying to make disciples unless we lean on the one who has all the authority and we lean on the one who is with us always. So, Father, let us sense your presence in here, Lord. I know it's a Sunday afternoon, and I know we may be sad because Pacquiao just lost the fight. But, God, you are victorious. I know I've spoiled it for some, but they should be thinking about Jesus anyway. In Jesus' name, bless the Kiwis as they play also. Amen. Anyway, just trying to keep you in the spirit. It's so good that you guys are here. Man, is this not working, Mike? Oh, I'll lean on you, bro. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now, I touched on this last week. If all authority is his, we have none, right? You'd agree with Matt? That's simple mathematics, obviously. Like, if all of the authority is his, you have zero, okay? And so since we have no authority without him, the only authority that we have is in him, and because of that authority that we have in him, therefore, go. Those are the two words I want to focus on. Everybody just say those two words. Therefore.
And therefore, go.
Come on, say it with some authority. Yeah, the authority you have in Christ. So since the one who has the authority lives in you, therefore, go. So I wanted to touch on this because obviously, this is what this passage highlights, the final words, according to Matthew's gospel at least, towards his disciples. Anybody remember what the first words were that the disciples heard from Jesus? Anybody remember? Yeah, how about that? "While walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were" what? Great. "And he said, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" Follow me. Some versions say, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." "Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two older brothers, James, the son of Zebedee," which means thunder. Anybody experienced that on Friday? "Sons of Zebedee. And John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father." So they were with their daddy, okay? "And they were mending their nets, and he called to them. Immediately they left their boat and their father, and they said to their father, 'Who's your daddy now?' And then they walked off and followed Jesus." Now, I don't know about you, but if this was you, in all honesty, okay, whether you were Peter and Andrew or James and John, how many of you would have dropped what you were doing and follow Jesus at that moment? It's awfully quiet in here, but I can understand. I can understand. You may have heard some people refer to the world within being within two zones, the comfort zone and the conflict zone. The third world, would be the conflict zone, you know, especially in restricted nations. There's conflicts, and obviously those people are desperate for the presence of God, and that's why there's revival in those sorts of nations. But in the comfort zones, of which unfortunately Australia is in the comfort zone, the first world nations, we have a tendency to hold on to our nets, hold on to our boats, hold on to our daddies. See, this is what the, you know, it's always important to look at what the first words of somebody is, especially if it's the most authoritative person that's ever lived and walked on the face of the planet. It's good. It's probably good to know what his first words were to you and his last words were to you. You notice his first words were, "Come follow me." You know, like a reggae artist, "Come follow me, come follow me, come follow me. Follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me." You know, "Come and follow me." And then at the end he says, "Go and make followers." Hopefully you're catching. There's a coming and a going. That's what I want to highlight. If you want to put a title on this, we can call it "Come and Go." Okay? Because everything of Jesus' life in terms of discipleship is sandwiched between coming and going. Now here's something that obviously I've just made that statement. First words to his disciples were, "Come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And notice that when in the going he says, "Go and make disciples." There's a making as well that happens. When you come, you are made. And when you go, you will make. Okay, so first words to disciples, "Come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Last words to disciples, "Go and make disciples and I'll always be with you." So the one that does the making does it alongside you. You're not on your own. He fills you with his spirit and enables you to make disciples. Now, let's look at this. See, this I need you to understand. The coming is invitational, but the going is a commandment. The coming is invitational, but the going is commandment. Do you think for a moment that Jesus would have been like, "Oh, come on, Peter. James, come on, leave the nets. Come on, please." Or would he have been like, "Are you guys listening to me? Don't you know I'm God and human flesh?" Or, you know, he didn't even have to coerce them. There was an authority that he carried that caused them to immediately, the Bible says immediately, they dropped their nets. Let's go back to that verse. It says, casting to the net, and then immediately they left their nets and followed him. Now notice this. They were fishermen. Jesus obviously used the fisher's analogy. He says, "I will make you fishers of men. Since you understand the art of catching fish, I'm going to show you how to catch men." Okay? So he used an analogy. So they dropped their nets. Now, fishermen was their, not only their occupation, was their identity. So the significance of them leaving their nets was massive. I hope you understand this. There was the identity. They were leaving their former identity. Because, you know, when you think about these guys, I mean, whenever you talk about, say, Simon Peter, back before Jesus came into his life, you say, "Oh, how's Simon Peter?" "Oh, yeah, he's a fisherman. You know, his fishing business is going well." But upon that day, everything changed. His identity changed. He left his nets. And the net was also his source, of provision. So he left his identity, his former identity. He also left his former source of provision in order to follow God, in order to follow Christ. Now, I don't want to say that God is calling you today to leave your job, but does your job, number one, identify you? Is it a source of identification? Like even for those of us who are students and studying to become a doctor or studying to become a political reformist or whatever it may be, is that going to affect your identity? Is that going to be your source? Or is it the God who gave you the ability to do that degree and the ability to walk into a career? Is that really your source of identity? Because if we're real, that's really the area as to why we find it hard to let go of our nets. Are you with me today? And so, same thing with James and John, even further than that. See, because some of our cultures, he didn't even say, "Leave your daddy." He said, basically, for those of you who grew up in the 80s like I did, he did an Arthur Fonzarelli. He didn't even call them. He just went, and then they followed him. Hey, You know, they just followed after him because of the authority that he carried. And the Bible says that they left their father. I mean, their father was not some soft dude. Do you remember what his name was? Zebedee. Like thunder. Thunder. Thundercats. Like that was his name. But Jesus had more authority, and so he left Mr. Thunder, Sir Thunder, Paul, for the Filipinos here. Sorry, Paul. And then walked off. They just walked off and followed Jesus. How many of you would leave your primary relationships, would leave your sources of provision, would leave the places that you identify with, would leave your career to follow Jesus? Not that he's calling you to, but if he did, would you leave? Because that's the invitation that he gives. And he realizes, he knows that it's going to cost you a lot. Jesus never turned around and like dragged them to come and follow him. It was invitational. And so every Sunday as we're meeting, or hopefully, you know, as you're a carrier of the Holy Spirit and as you're a carrier of the gospel, you are also in this atmosphere where you can invite people. But you got to understand, you know, and this is why we shouldn't, and we shouldn't get frustrated. Because remember, the authority is in Jesus. If people don't come, it's because, you know, they haven't experienced the authority of Jesus. So just continue to pray for them. I want to encourage that. That's for somebody in here. Maybe that's just for me. You know, you get frustrated with reaching people or reaching lost people. You know, you try to invite them to come, and they're like, oh, you know, just too busy. What are you busy with? You know, I got my knitting lesson, something, you know, like that. I've got to work on my stamps. I know none of y'all are busy like that. You may have friends, but it's amazing. You know, the last, I'm not going to touch on this, but the last message in this series is just the importance of just showing up in discipleship. Just like going to the gym. You know, I've just started going back to the gym. Just started going back to the gym, and I know what it looks like inside now. I was telling our leaders, you know, I used to hit the gym. You know what I mean? By hit the gym, drive there, hit it, and go back home. You know? Now I know what it looks like inside. I know what a treadmill is. I hate the thing. It's invented by some demon worshippers, but I have to use it, you know? I'm going to burn off the... That's why they call it sideburns. Got to burn the sides, you know? So you don't want to sing the song, put your hands up, and then afterwards, How many of you know it's hard to follow a leader when you can't see the vision? Because like, move out of the way, Nelly, you know? You're supposed to be worshiping Jesus. You look like Buddha. Come on. Stay in the spirit. Not anymore. That's why I'm in the gym. But you know what it is? A lot of the battle is just showing up. It's so hard. You know, Norm knows this. We have a workout group on Saturday. I dread Friday nights, you know. Friday night, I'm like, oh, far out. I got to go to this thing tomorrow. I was really glad they canceled it because of the storm. But there was so much guilt in me that I flooded. I was rejoicing in the Lord when I got the Facebook message. It is canceled. Cancel. I was like, ah. I woke up in the morning and I felt so dreadful. I went, oh man, I've got to go to the gym. If I didn't work out. So I pushed myself yesterday. So if I'm moving kind of sludgily, it's because, you know, I've got it in a place now where, you know, prayerfully it will become a routine and a lifestyle. But a lot of it comes when you just show up. You know, I'm at a place where I can admit it now, because now you're all going to hold me accountable. That's Nelly. How's it going? On a podcast too, so there are people listening to it internationally now. But a lot of the battle is just by showing up. Like when, even in the invitation, you got to go. It's amazing the excuses we'll make in the coming. Let me tell you, you can't go until you come. How many of you noticed that? Let me get to where we are. For instance, imagine you're invited to this party, okay? Here's what's essential. Please bring a guest of your choice, a guest of my choice, and all the Elvis impersonators you can scrape up on short notice. So this is that sort of party. Imagine it's that sort of party. So the party happens. It's happening, right? Everybody shows up. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. And how many of you know when you party in the Holy Spirit, it's greater than any party that you could ever experience? you know, at the bottom of a bottle or whatever you're trying to do with drugs or relationships, whatever you're searching for can be found in the party of the Holy Spirit, in the presence of our God within his community. But then it comes time to leave. Like, how many of you know we can't stay here at BMAC for the rest of our lives? We have to go. Otherwise, you start looking like these people. Like, when is this guy going to leave? Unfortunately, what happens is, like, we have these parties, and it's like no one ever leaves the party. It's like we just go hang out with Christians over here, try to extend the party there. And yes, it's good to continue the party, but it's good to continue that party and open it up for non-believers so that they will experience the authority and the love of Christ. But if we're always hanging around each other, it's no wonder we start looking like this. When are you going to go home? When are you going to go? There's a part that's invitational for you to enjoy the party, but then the Holy Spirit empowers us within that party and in this celebration within the community so that we are empowered to go. The whole point of this Sunday is to celebrate who he is to the point where you are encouraged and you want to go. You have to come, though, before you can go. That's basically it. You can't go unless you've come. James is, you know, he lives in Brom, which is on the north western part of this nation. Now, I can't tell him to go back to Brom if he's already there. Right? Have you ever thought, hey, can you go to Brom? I'm already there. You're talking to me on Skype. He's there. He's already there. But see, the thing is, he can only go there in the authority of Christ when he comes into the presence of God, is empowered out. You see, a lot of people, they get frustrated with the tasks of ministry, or they see the ritualism and the religious acts of Christianity, and they wonder, oh, man, this is just draining. I'm just getting tired of this, you know? My question for them would be, have you actually come to his presence? Not just come to the event, but come to a place of personal relationship where the outpouring of his Holy Spirit causes you to desire the things that he wants, where it becomes a lot easier to engage in activities that will help you to grow as a Christian. You don't look at them as religious tasks. You don't look at the Great Commission to make disciples and go, oh, do I have to? You look at them as, man, I get to. And I get to because God is with me. But unless you come to God, you're going to look at it as a ritualistic task. And so I'll tell guys, you know, hey, is it okay if you call up this guy and see how he's doing? Yeah, okay. But they treat it like it's a something you check off the list. And then I'll ask them, how's that guy going? And they'll be all like, oh, yeah, drop them like a text. And it was just like a three-word text. How's it, bro? Sure. Gotta add the third word, sorry. And that was it. That was their follow-up, just so that they could check it off. No heart connection, no love for him, no experiencing the love of God for that brother. And so it was just like, oh yeah, well, I tried. Really? I mean, after Jesus Christ laid his life down and did everything he could to save you, the best we can do is a three-word text. The best we can do is, you know, and again, don't hear me as if, okay, I have to do this task. My encouragement for you, if that's your heart, as it was my heart, is to come to a place where God can break your heart for the people that are lost. Please don't hear this as a something you have to do. You get to do it. You get to evangelize. You get to make disciples. It's an honor to do that. But you'll never understand the honor it is unless you experience the presence of the one who holds all the honor. But as his sons and daughters, we experience that. And in that, we understand what we are carrying, what we are stewards of. And so I would encourage you not to go until you've come. What do I mean by come? Like, pursue God. It's the only thing in Scripture, whether it's in Psalm 27, verse 4. This one thing I have, that which I seek after. David the psalmist is saying that I haven't found it yet, but I'm seeking after it. I'm pressing in towards it, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, all the days of my life, gaze upon his beauty and inquire in his temple. He's pursuing that. Paul says, you know, I count everything, all my accolades, rubbish, but to know God. The word in the Greek is gnosko, which means to have an intimate relationship with. And then it goes on. This is Philippians 3, if you want to study it in your own time. Forgetting what is behind, I press forward towards the mark, straining forward towards the mark of the prize of the heavenly calling. That heavenly calling, that prize is to know God. It's the only thing in Scripture that God calls us to strain towards. This relationship with God. You can't go until you come. Otherwise, when you hear pastors like me saying, we've got to make disciples, you'll say, okay, this is another checklist. And you'll burn out and you won't want to follow God because it becomes a task. But if you have the power of the one who empowers you because he carries all the authority, it becomes a lot easier to make disciples. Just like an orange tree that bears oranges, it doesn't have to strain. You've heard me give this analogy time and time again. You don't go to the orchard and hear an orange tree going, oranges, please. It doesn't have to. It is an orange. You are a son of God. Carry God with you. But if you haven't come, then you can't go. And then you wonder why there's no authority when you come and try to make disciples. You can't go until you come. I'm just going to finish this up with this parable that Jesus Christ tells to his disciples. He says in Luke 14, 16 to 23, I don't have time to totally unpack this other than to just touch on it with regards to where we're going with this message. Luke 14, 16 to 23, it says this, and he said to them, this is Jesus talking to the disciples, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. At the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come. Everybody say come. Come, for everything is now ready. How many of you know when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords puts on a feast, there's nothing in this world that can compare to it. Nothing in this world that can compare to it. And he's saying to us, and everybody who's listening by way of podcast, he says to us today, come, it's ready. Come and feast on it. But they all alike began to make excuses. Here we go. The first said to him, I have bought a field, and I must go out to see it. Please have me excused. I have bought a field. It's a rugby field. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I've bought some cows. And I'm going to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife. Oh, this is, we're touching on things now, eh? Some of you would say, I married a wife, and she said not to come in like that. Right? I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Excuses, excuses. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of this. Are you sensing the urgency in this master's voice? See, they went, and they got these answers. Please, please, can you excuse me? The RSVP was, cannot, can't make it. So, they can't make it. The master at this time is like, he's like, do you recognize the feast that I prepared? It cost me like my life. I laid down eternity, my life for this feast. And you're going to turn that down. I mean, you're talking about your oxen. You want to come check out my cows. My word says I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Hey, here's what, I own the hills too. And you're going to turn that away for your little mitty mitty cows over there, your little oxen. And that little wife that I gave you. You're going to turn away this for that? I gave her too. See, this is the problem. Romans 1 starts talking about how we start to worship the blessing. We idolize the blessing. The thing that God gives us. He gives us abilities. And he gives us talents, he gives us relationships, and then we start to turn our attention towards those abilities, those talents, those relationships, those things that we have. I bought a new Porsche. I can't make it, even though I can drive faster than everybody to church. I'm just going to polish it and take more selfies at home so that I can get more likes on Instagram, because that satisfies me. Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. So he's like, okay, forget all the people that have everything. Let's go to the people who have nothing. Because they're the ones that are desperate for the presence of God. And they're not just asking, you know, he's not just going to give them some bread and one shoe. I can't stand people who are like, you know, I'm giving a mission. I'm going to missions today. I'm giving them one shoe. Like, what are you going to do with one shoe? You need a pair at least. And so he's like, I'm not going to give you like the scraps. You're going to feast. And of course, these people will come running. Bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. The servant said, sir, what you commanded has already been done, and still there is room. See, the servants didn't get it too. So there's two groups I'm speaking to right now. There are those who make excuses, and then there's also the servants who feel like they've just done the task. We've done all you commanded. And they said, no, you know, they said, can't make it. And they settle for the can't make it. But like, here's the response of the master. The master said to the servant, go out in the highways and the hedges. Okay, don't just go down the road. I hope you're catching this. He says, don't just go where it's obvious there is a road, but go into the trees. Like, look for the people in the bushes who are hiding from the presence of God and find them and compel them to come. That's the word we want to emphasize, compel. Compel is not compulsory, but it's do everything within your power. Do everything that you can to bring people into the presence of God, just the same way that Jesus did everything that he could to draw you into salvation. He laid his whole life down. How many of you can honestly say that I have laid my whole life down? I was about to be laid down right there because I tripped up on the speaker. How many of you can honestly say that you have laid everything down? Is there an ouch point? Because really, it doesn't become true worship until it starts feeling like ouch. Everything else is spare change. God is not a God of spare change. He's a God of sacrifice. Worship is linked to sacrifice. And so these servants had to get past the point of just compulsory service so that, you know, for my campus students here, it would be like, oh, you know, I just want to do anything that I can so that Roisin or Pastor Nelly sees that I'm doing my task and I'm just showing up to the right meetings and, you know, but without a heart for UQ or QUT, without a heart for the lost, without a heart for the staff, without a heart for the campus and the mission field that God's put you on, whether it's for the season or for the rest of your life. You honestly think that God would entrust to you another mission field when you can't be faithful in the small field that he's put in your heart? For all of us that aren't on campus and we're working, our workplace is a mission field. But it's funny how we'll worship that field. I have a field now and I can't make it. Well, he's the one that put you on the field in the first place. Have you ever thought that that field that you have is a mission field? And that he's turning your attention around so you can see the people that are on that field are lost and they need this Jesus that you know or supposedly know. But who am I to say whether you've come before you've gone? Because I mean, we shouldn't have to stir up or rile up people to go and make disciples when his Holy Spirit is the one that draws us to the place of naturally wanting to go make disciples. It should be a natural compulsion. You shouldn't feel like a pastoral nag is on you. But some of us do. And the reason why is because our desires aren't in the right place. You can't go until you come. And the Holy Spirit is inviting us to come. He's inviting us to come. And he understands that this life is hard. The true gospel never promises us that it'll be Disneyland. You'll still go through trials. But the great thing about it is he is with you always. It's a false gospel. You know, God will make you happy. God just wants to make you, you know, erase all the hard times away. That's rubbish. That's not That's not Christianity. If that was the case, what about Jesus, his disciples, Paul, all throughout history, people like Martin Luther, the reformers who were all killed and martyred for the gospel's sake? If you really follow the line, the lineage of true Christianity throughout the ages, the great men and women that have gone before us laid their lives down. But you can't. You can't go until you've come. So there's really two places that I want to pray for today. There are the goers and the comers. There are those of us where we know that we're here, but we are challenged by the Holy Spirit today to go beyond ourselves. Can I get you to focus on me? I know he's good looking, but just fix your eyes. I don't want you to miss this. There are those of us who are sitting in this room today, and you know you're in a place where God is calling you to go and make disciples. And you're like, yeah, Pastor Nelly, I want to go. I've experienced enough of his goodness in my life. I feel empowered by the Holy Spirit. I want to go and make disciples. I'm going to give you a chance to respond. But I first want to pray for those who want to come. Okay, let's stand to our feet at this time. For those of you who have come to Ian Brisbane before, just as a sign, a prophetic symbol of our response to the gospel message. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, this is Jesus talking, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Some of us have never experienced the rest, the peace that can be found in the presence of God, because it's out of that peace that we make disciples. But it's until you learn to come that at that point you'll be effective in your going. But in your coming, you must understand that you're leaving behind your agenda, you're leaving behind your former identity, you're leaving behind any relationship that exalts itself over God, you're leaving behind everything, every idol, and you're saying, "God, I come to you, you are my God." If that's you today, whether it's your first time or first time in a long time, it doesn't matter. This front area is an altar before the Lord. It's symbolic of an altar. An altar is a place of sacrifice. And if you want to declare today that I'm coming to the Lord to offer myself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God, then I want you to just come out. Don't worry about the person next to you. They will move out of your way. Just say, you know, "Can you move out of the way? I need to come up the front and offer myself." Remember, you can't go until you come. I really believe the Holy Spirit is going to pour himself out over whoever comes, that you will be so flooded with the presence of the Holy Spirit that it will be natural for you to go. But again, you please don't go until you come. So if that's you, just right now, before we go any further, just come out from where you're standing and just come up the front here. I'm just going to give you an opportunity to respond today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Awesome. It's great. Honor your boldness for coming up. I know there's more people there. Don't worry. I mean, if you've been around for a while, it doesn't matter. That's even more of a sacrifice that you need to lift up, because you're more aware of the people that are around you. I want you to, you know, just take the boldness and come up for whatever that may mean. Won't prolong it any too much longer. So maybe another 10 more seconds. Awesome. Seconds. Now for the second group of people, I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. I'm going to pray for these ones first. Father, I thank you for my brothers and my sisters who have made this awesome decision in the presence of this spiritual family to come to you, Lord God, and honor you with their lives, Lord. They're laying down their own agenda in exchange for your agenda. They're laying down their own will in exchange for your will. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to empower them by your grace. Lord, reintroduce yourself to my brothers and sisters right now. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon my brothers and my sister. Lord, let them meet you in a fresh way. Holy Spirit, just flood their hearts with your presence. Flood their hearts with your presence. Flood their hearts with your love today, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence here today. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill their lives today, Lord. In Jesus' name. What we're going to do, just continue to stand right where you are. For those of you whom you sense God is calling you to go, this is also an altar for you to come, just to declare with your life, I'm not going to play games anymore. I'm going to go in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to make disciples. And guess what? I want you to look up at me. You see these ones who have come, you're going to come down and be the ones to pray for them, okay? So I want you to, if you sense that God is calling you to go and be and initiate a to become a disciple maker, here's your chance. Just step out from where you are and come and pray for these ones who are up the front. Awesome. Got people moving already. Just come out from where you are. It's great. Anybody else? Responded to the going, I want you to already start to pray for them. Pray for these ones who have come forward. Just pray a blessing upon them. I'll get James and Roisin if you can come and help us, and Helen, come and pray for these ones. Rebecca, can you help us pray? Just pray a blessing upon the decision that they've made. Thanks, Jess. Those of you standing back there, just begin to pray and intercede for these ones who have made this choice today. To dismiss, but I'm going to continue to enable these ones to continue to pray. And I want to pray for us as we go. If any of you need prayer also for anything that the Holy Spirit may be speaking to you, I'd love to pray for you guys as well. Let me just pray as we dismiss today. Father, we thank you for your presence that is here. It's already at work with these ones, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord, for all of us here, that you'd stir up within us just a heart and a desire to want to see transformation within our own lives. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would move us from glory to glory, from strength to strength each day throughout this week, Lord God. Empower us by your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray, Lord, for a renewed sense of your joy as we go about our week, Lord God. Help us to be constantly aware of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your presence here in Jesus. Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. God bless you all. You're dismissed. Feel free to hang out, obviously, in the foyer. We're going to continue to pray for these ones, so just be conscious of these ones that are praying. If you need prayer, please come down. We'd love to pray for you. Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.